Why are we here? Can I have a relationship with God? These kinds of things I can't measure with my microscope or my telescope.
Hope deranges us. Hope breaks things and breaks things down.
Christianity isn't some kind of self-help doctrine. It's not probiotics for the soul or something, you know?
He was using the parable of the Good Samaritan to justify bombing Syria.
Welcome to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Simon Smart. And today is the very last episode of 2019, so we thought we'd get into the end of year spirit and do some reflecting on 2019. And with me in the studio to help do that is Natasha Moore and Justine Toe. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Good to see you. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how Christmassy are each of you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty Christmassy.
Really?
I reckon I'm about it. I love Christmas. Oh. I'm at about an 8, okay. Justine.
Well, to be the dampener here, this is also
we
because
need a
of,
Grinch.
Well, I'm not a Grinch. I have to admit, I mean, we were caught out of Sydney and most of December has been kind of blanketed in smoke. And so I'm writing, my Christmas article is actually going to be like in this space. And so I think it's kind of changed my mood. I mean, I generally love Christmas and I will get into the spirit, but it's just different this year. That's all.
I love Christmas too, but I'm never feeling Christmassy until the very day. I don't, it kind of creeps up
that
on
means
me.
You only get 24 hours of Christmas.
Well, no, it's
I get
extended.
Months.
It goes on afterwards. Now, 2019 has been a big year at Life and Faith. We've had lots of fabulous guests, some surprising, some moving, and we'd kind of like to spend hours naming our favourite guests and moments in Life and Faith, but we want to give you a taste of what this year has given us. And perhaps inspire people to go back and catch up on episodes they might have missed, give you something to listen to while you're on the beach this summer. And we've kind of had to limit ourselves to just a few categories.
Yeah, we've decided to talk about our favourite anecdote, offer a few stories behind the stories. We're also going to talk about our most confronting interview, and each of us will mention our most memorable moments as well.
And we're going to be hearing from Anna Grummet, our social media guru, on how things played out on the socials this year for Life and Faith.
Yep. So let's jump in. First category, favourite anecdote.
Simon, you actually made the recommendation for this one, didn't you?
Yeah, I did actually. The person who immediately jumped to my mind when we thought of this was Tim Costello. Now, we published, you remember, 2 episodes on him a few months back. It was called A Lot with a Little, which is the title of Tim's new book.
Yeah, I feel like some people just have that gift. You know, you have it or you don't. The gift of telling brilliant anecdotes. And there was a particular moment where I realised this about Tim. So not everyone will know that Tim Costello has recently joined our team here at CPX. Yep. So he works part-time with us. And soon after he joined CPX, he appeared on Q&A on the ABC as one of the panelists. And, you know, I think he did a great job. But there was this one moment at the very end of the night, and it was just after the whole kind of fiasco with the MasterChef judges. I don't know if they were fired.
I
they
think
quit.
Quit.
Overpaid or something.
And so the final question on Q&A for the night was, who do you think should be the judges on MasterChef going forward? And everyone was a bit like, oh, I don't know, hedged. And Tim drew out this anecdote about the time that he was on MasterChef with the Dalai Lama and, you know, told this great joke about, you know, how the Dalai Lama was really uncomfortable about judging.
Because,
and Tim was like, oh, this is against your religion. And he was like, oh, I'm fine. I can judge as much as I like.
Yeah, the Christian
like,
being the judging person.
Who has that anecdote up your sleeve?
He's got one for every occasion, actually. Now, the story we're about to listen to was just one of many. We could have chosen heaps of these from the book and from the interview. A lot of these stories that Tim tells, though, they're funny, yes, but they're often moving and really interesting. And Tim has led a really colourful life. He's met so many interesting people. And he tells a great story that is just naturally relating his life, yes, but to his faith. I love that about Tim.
So Uncle George was the secretary of the meat workers, and he was a Maoist, not a Leninist, a Maoist. He would go to communist China all the time, an atheist. I remember when I was helping him build his mansion and he had towel rack warmers. I said, gee, Uncle George, this is luxurious for a communist. Son, he said, nothing's too good for the worker. Nothing. When he died, the whole of the labour movement came to the funeral. My brother couldn't come because he was suing the Meat Workers Union and he would have been physically assaulted. And I'm not being metaphorical there.
No, that would have been a real risk.
And I was asked to do the funeral. They said, nothing religious, he's a Maoist. So the funeral began with the Internationale and Bob Hawke and all the Labour front bench and all the unionists are there. And I led the funeral and I was careful, though it's hard to say nothing religious. You start to say, we are thankful for his life. Who are we thankful for? No, we can't include God. Got through it. Funeral's over, doors open, hearse is going out. And the Footscray Workers Band that Uncle George started, he started everything in Footscray. He was an extraordinary man. Struck up Amazing Grace. And the comrades, all with tears running down their faces, sang Amazing Grace. And I just reflected, I wasn't allowed to say anything religious, but Uncle George went out to wherever he's gone with Amazing Grace.
That's fantastic. Well, that was Tim Costello from our episode, A Lot with a Little. And I have to admit, because of time, I had to resist putting in his story of trying to evangelize the lead singer of AC/DC, Bon Scott. If you're interested in that, go listen now.
So moving right along, we wanted to give you a bit of a glimpse into some of the stories behind the stories that we bring on Life and Faith. Obviously, with any creative production, some things just fall into place with not that much planning or
every
crafting.
Week.
We've had a few of those this year. The person comes in, we have this great conversation, and it basically turns straight into an episode. Others, they take weeks of research, numerous phone calls, some clever crafting to create an episode that is textured and interesting. Justine, the episode that you produced called He Had a Dream was one of these, right?
So this was a really crazy story that fell into my lap. I met Mark Yetika Paulson, who's the son of Graham Paulson, who was the minister effectively to Vincent Lingiari, who led the Wavehill Walk-Off, which was this incredible story that started off the land rights movement in Australia. This aspect of Aboriginal Christian history is not known, basically. And so I got the story from him and it was amazing, but I thought I have to corroborate this somehow. So I'm Googling frantically, and it is amazing what you can find on Google, because I landed upon this guy called Jim Keim, who I, from my Googling, I'd also learned was a minister to the nearby people who had met Vincent Lingiari. So it was one of those really random phone calls that you might do to a church and say, hi, this is going to sound really strange, but do you have a Jim Keim in your congregation? And would that Jim Keim be the same Jim Keim who was a missionary to the Walpree people sometime in the 60s? And he's like, why, yes, there is. And I was like, ah, and would you mind if I have his phone number? No, not at all. Here it is. And it was like, are you kidding? Like, I Googled, and then all of a sudden, within 10 minutes, I had his number. Mm-hmm. And then he had this story of not only meeting Vincent Lingiari, but these dreams that were related to him that Vincent Lingiari had. And when I go back and ask Mark about all these dreams, he was like, I'm really glad you bring them up because they're not my stories to tell. But now we have these stories, and it's a little known contribution of Christianity or of the Christian experience and how it actually does cast a very unique light on this event.
The old man Lingiari talked about how he really felt a calling, if you like, or a message from God to say that it is time to make a stand, to no longer accept the conditions, to actually do something about that. And yes, of course, there was the involvement of others to help him prepare technically, to help him prepare with the kind of political apparatus to be able to do that. But he really felt a sense of, I feel called to do this. I feel like it is my right to do this as a community leader, a cultural leader, to be able to make this kind of stand. And what's also interesting is that people continue to talk about his role as being that likened to Moses and the exodus of the Israelite people from under Egyptian slavery. And just the other day, one of the young leaders was talking about how for them, the old man Lingiari is actually a Moses-type figure for their story as well.
That was Mark Yetika Paulson from the episode He Had a Dream.
Yeah, thanks, Justine. Now, another episode that wasn't a straightforward interview but actually ended up being really fun to put together was One Giant Leap. Now, we decided, along with just about everyone else, to mark the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, but we tried to do it by asking some questions about the universe and our place in it and our tendency to, in these sorts of moments, to reach for spiritual language and concepts to make sense of moments of wonder and awe. And we brought in our fellow CPXR, Richard Schumach. We also spoke to the author, Andrew Smith, who wrote the book Moondust, which was a collection of interviews of all the surviving people who'd walked on the moon. It's an incredible book. And in that episode, we threw in some archived Apollo recordings and some creative readings too. I think it came out pretty well.
And Simon, this is also one of the episodes which I guess kind of emerged from an article, or you ended up writing an article on it, and that was on the ABC, and it did really well, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit obsessed by this stuff as a kid, and this seems to have carried on into adulthood. But yeah, so I did write about this, and it did seem to get a lot of traction. People were very interested in the sort of spiritual side of human achievement.
So for me personally, I think my own favourite moment or story from it was Alan Bean, who was one of my favourite ones that I met. He was on Apollo 12, the second one to land, and that crew were really special. They loved each other like brothers. They were so close. And Alan, when he got back, because he was quite a reflective, philosophical sort of character, he used to go, there's a massive shopping mall in Houston where he lived, and he used to just go and sit in that, it's called the Galleria, he used to just go and sit there by the ice cream stand and just get an ice cream and just watch all the people going around and thinking, isn't it incredible that we're all here? You know, what are the odds? And I think that, for me, really sums it up.
And that was even true of Apollo 11, wasn't it, Smutty? Even that moment of arriving on the moon for the very first time, there was elements of transcendence and wonder, even worship at that moment.
Yeah, there was. It's famously Buzz Aldrin took wine and bread from his local church, and he actually carried out a communion service while he sat in the lunar module before he took the steps down onto the moon.
Houston, Tranquility, over.
Tranquility, Houston, go ahead.
Roger, this is the LEM pilot. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening in, whoever, wherever they may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his or her own way. Over.
That was the episode One Giant Leap. Now, there's another aspect of production that some of us find harder than others, don't we? The editing process. That's right, Natasha.
Okay.
Pointing fingers.
I am the worst at this. I am aware of it. But I just cannot kill my darlings. No. And, you know, regularly, Anthea, our producer, has to put her foot down and be like, okay, this episode is currently 47 minutes long and you need to do something about that. But I love all of the bits and I don't want to cut anything. And maybe the most agonizing for me this year was the interview with Jim Warner Wallace, who is a cold case detective. Yeah. And just everything he said was gold. And it was so hard to cut things out. So, I mean, I'm really glad we're doing this episode because it gives me an opportunity to slide back in some things that
month,
we had to cut.
That's
right. Off cuts from Life and Faith. So in this bit, he's talking about which cases are most fun for him and which ones aren't, that he really doesn't work with DNA, that's kind of all the rage on TV, but, you know, he does kind of real detective work.
We just had a case that solved about a month ago, a case I opened in 2000, another 2003 or 4 case. And she was a 10-year-old girl who was killed in our city. It's a case that was solved with DNA, with ancestry DNA. That's starting to become quite the rage here in the United States. To me, that's so unsatisfying, right? I mean, maybe it's just my own pride issue, but I feel like it's much more challenging to have to, you know, if someone calls you one day because you submitted DNA 15 years ago and they say, oh, we have the identity of your suspect now. That's like, okay, you know, that's great, but it doesn't feel like I did much, you know, except for find the DNA and submit it, you know. I didn't really do a lot. So the cases that are the most interesting to me are the ones that are like there's just people have given these up for lost. There's nothing new. You know, there's not a new statement from another newly found eyewitness. It's just the same old stuff that was there, but you happen to see it differently. And that's the stuff that is it's kind of stuff from TV, right? The stuff that you watch on Sherlock Holmes, where he has that ability to see the same room but catch five things you missed. Well, I don't have that ability, but if you give me enough time, and I'm looking at this visually, there's a good chance I can find something that was missed. And that's the most satisfying, I think.
That was Jim Warner-Wallace, Cold Case Detective, and the episode is called Murder Most Popular. That bit isn't in it, but if that's a bit we cut out, I'm hoping you're imagining how great the stuff we kept in was.
But that's not to say that we only cut out the great stuff. I mean, Natasha, you had an incredible interview with Valerie Browning, and that was a really confronting episode as well, am I right?
One of the wonderful things about the job that we get to do is the people that we meet, and we get to hear their stories. And often that's like heartwarming, or, you know, makes us cry, or all kinds of things. But some of them are really just make you question everything about your
your
existence.
Whole life. Yeah,
and
uncomfortable.
Yeah, mm. Yeah, certainly less than comfortable. And Valerie Browning, who is just amazing, was a lot like that. She's lived among the Afar people, these nomads in Ethiopia, for decades. And her kind of clarity and her rage, really, particularly about what life in the West is like and how comfortable and how kind of trapped we are by our possessions and our lifestyle and that kind of thing, I found very challenging.
She also talked a bit, and I've never forgot this, but she talked about fear, or maybe her complete lack thereof.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Like, yeah. She told me these stories of, you know, near-death experiences that she'd had. She nearly died of snake bite. She nearly died in childbirth. You know, had a bullet kind of whiz through her hairline, ran from an army in a civil war with her child. You know, and I was like, are you never afraid? I thought that was a reasonable question.
Yeah.
And she did not hesitate.
Fear is a useless thing. It's useless and it is self-indulgent. It really is. I stopped that quite a while ago. I did. And so I can run in the front line. I've had to be with war zone problems, with famine problems, with all sorts of problems. It doesn't matter. And in the end, death is going to come. You can't stop death, by the way. It's related to life. Huh? But here in Australia, they don't even know that. I mean, that's really amazing. But no, we could be snapped up tonight on the way back to visit my daughter anytime. It's possible. And we should respect that, utterly respect it. Yeah. And not be frightened of it either. If you have a Christian belief, well, you've got nothing to lose. Nothing at all. Not a scratch. Why do you protect yourself? Why? Life without risk is not life. It is simply not life.
That was Valerie Browning. She is this tiny woman who is absolutely fearsome. And the episode, if you want to listen to the whole interview, is called Fear is a Useless Thing.
Now, I often get told by you guys, as well as others, to be more active on social media.
Yeah, remind us again of your Twitter bio, Simon. How does that go?
Well, I think you know it.
Yeah, it reads, I am the director of the Centre for Public Christianity in Sydney, Australia.
I've gone for brevity.
Yeah. Good.
Says all I need to say, don't you think? But look, I imagine many of our listeners are more engaged than I am on social media. So I thought it'd be a good idea to talk to our social media person, Anna Grummet, who's also our youth editor, to get her thoughts on the episodes that rose to the surface on socials this year. Anna, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Simon.
Now tell me, out of all the Life and Faith episodes that we've put out into the universe in 2019, which ones come top of the list if we're thinking about things like Facebook and Insta, maybe Twitter?
Well, one episode that did really well on Facebook, which I was a bit surprised by actually, was the interview that we did with Andrew Browning, mm-hmm. this missionary doctor who has been working in parts of Africa for most of his life. And I was really happy about this, actually, because it was my idea to interview him.
It was your tip, I think.
Yep. So that was good. But also, I think, you know, he's such an inspirational man, although I guess he would probably be the last to admit this. Mm. He's very humble as well. But, you know, he's really dedicated his life to saving lives and restoring the dignity of countless African women through his work as a fistula surgeon. And I think people really just resonated with that. They really resonated with his story because he was just this regular guy. You know, he put up this quote on Facebook, which was him saying that when he was a little kid, his greatest ambition was to open a fish and chip shop. But he's ended up with this amazing life in Africa doing such incredible work.
No, so, he was amazing, yeah. Anna. So not surprising, people responded well to that. Who else? Who else did well there?
Well, another one that did really well was the interview we did at the very beginning of the year with Adeola, who's this Nigerian YouTuber who's made a name for herself by calling out corrupt leaders.
Yes, including Robert Mugabe.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Most famously, she asked him when he was going to step down, which
not something you
know,
you
not
do.
Something you normally do.
Right.
So this did really well on both Facebook and Twitter, and that was largely because Adeola herself shared the episode with her 50,000 followers on Twitter and then her 600,000 followers on Facebook.
Okay, so we were on the back of someone else's success.
Yes, really,
there.
Yep.
Oh, that's good.
You know, and I Happy think we that. Got a few extra followers and downloads from Nigeria after okay. that, so that's good, you know,
we're
getting global,
our wings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that was good. I think I know who else you're going to mention here.
Yes. So another episode that we did quite recently that did very well on Instagram and Facebook particularly was the McAlpine twins. So, you know,
yeah,
they
this
came.
Is a good episode.
It was a good episode. And it was really great for social media. As soon as they walked into the office for the interview, I knew we had to get some pictures of them. They had these like totally unplanned, you know, loud shirts, hipster hats and glasses. It was a great look for social media. And I think particularly the photo of them on either side of you, Simon,
yes.
In your plain, not
very nice.
Super interesting, great,
but plain
nice,
shirt.
But quite plain white shirt.
Yes.
That I sparked remember. A bit of banter in the comments, mm-hmm. beginning with a lady who said, dude in the middle could use some style ideas.
The dude in the middle, yeah. So, Anna, if there are some listeners out there who haven't yet followed CPX, how do they do that?
Yeah, it would be great if you could all follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Public Christianity, or on Twitter, it's at CPX_tweet. So please give us a follow and do comment on our podcast episodes. Let us know what you thought. We'd love to hear from you there. And also, if you listen to an episode and that really struck you, why not share that around on social media with your friends and family?
Absolutely. Thanks, Anna.
Thanks.
So to round up this episode, we thought it'd be a good idea to include one last category, most memorable. And each of us have had to have a think and come up with one soundbite for an episode that stayed with us for one reason or another. Justine, you're up first.
Yes, there was lots of different things that I could have chosen, but I landed on a quote from the episode Sister Act, where Sister Mary Grace, and yes, she is a nun, she speaks to her surprising experience of religious life. Now, if you're anything like me, you think a particular thing about the life of a nun, but hold on to that thought and let her surprise you.
You know, before I knew religious, to me, religious seemed like the women that said no. That said, no pleasure, no fun. It's going to be a tough, hard life. I love God, so I'm going to say no to anything other than anything that has to pertain to God. And it has been the most surprising experience to see that as religious, we take on so much more. Yes, God asks us to set aside perhaps the possibility of having our own family, to take on his family. He asks us not to marry another man on this earth so that we can take on him as our spouse, that he will provide for me, that he will actually satisfy those very deepest desires that I have as a woman to be fulfilled, to be loved, to be treasured, to be chosen, to be noticed. And he fulfills it. He fulfills it. And that is our joy. That is what fills us. And he satisfies and he meets those, you know, and those desires he placed in every human heart, in yours and mine. he desires to fulfill through the beautiful marriages that we've come from, the families that have brought us up. But as religious, God calls us to himself and he satisfies them over and abundantly. And I can only say that that by the joy that I've experienced already, that I have lacked nothing and only taken on more than what I even expected to receive in this life.
Thanks, Justine. Now, that episode was called Sister Act. Natasha, were you able to choose just one?
Look, I've stuck to the rules in that I've picked one, but I haven't stuck to the rules in that I decided to go with an interview that we've done, but we haven't published yet. So we did this interview very recently. I figured this could be a good teaser for next year's episodes. We interviewed someone who, I can't tell you his name. We call him Investigator V because he works undercover around the world, you know, trying to rescue girls from sex trafficking and children from slave labor, and just does this incredible work. And the stories he told us were unbelievable. So here is a short excerpt from him, something to expect in early 2020.
It's completely changed my worldview in a lot of ways. I did see a lot as a police officer and as an undercover drug investigator. You see a lot of life destroyed. But I tell you, I thought I was prepared for this work, but I really wasn't. It was a process of learning how to deal with it. I don't think there's anything that can prepare you for a young boy that's been enslaved and starving to death and stand in front of him and do undercover work and act like you're there for nefarious purposes. I don't know what preparation would prepare you for that, but you learn as you go. And so it's been difficult. My 3 years in India, hardest 3 years of my life, of all the things I've done, including being in the Marines. But it's 3 years that I wouldn't trade for anything. You couldn't have paid me $1 million a year to do something different, honestly.
That's Investigator V, and that episode will be out early next year. Simon, what about you? What's your pick?
Well, I've chosen as my pick, as the most memorable, the first interview we did for 2019.
So there you go. Way back.
It was way back. And it was an episode entitled Space for the Sacred. I was speaking to the philosopher John Milbank. In that episode, we covered liberalism, secularism, populism, all the isms, as well as Harry Potter. Now, John's answer to the last question of that interview, it stayed with me. I've used it in talks. The question was, what would a modern Western secular person find most surprising about Christianity were they to look into it and take it seriously?
Oh, pleasure. I think that's... It would make their lives far more interesting, exciting, and pleasurable, and physical. You know, because they're essentially alienated from their bodies if they think their bodies are... just pieces, you know, bits of matter, you know. Whereas the body is precisely the site where kind of matter and mind are interacting. I mean, they would just find their lives way more fun. I think that's the point.
Well, that's John Milbank in the episode Space for the Sacred. Christianity increasing your pleasure and fun. Now, that would, I reckon, be a surprise to lots of people today. So on that note, from Natasha, Justine and myself and the whole CPX team, we want to thank all our loyal Life and Faith listeners. We hope this year's content has given you lots to chew on your commute, perhaps mowing the lawn, or as one of our listeners told us, hiking in the Rocky Mountains.
We also want to wish you all a very happy Christmas.
And while we all take a break over January, know that we are working really hard behind the scenes to get ready some incredible new episodes ready for publishing in the new year, and we can't wait to share them with you.
Thanks for joining us today. All the episodes we talked about will be linked in the show notes, so why don't you use some of your Christmas break to listen to the ones you missed, or send them to someone you think might like to listen to them. See you in 2020. He, in that episode, covered things like liberalism, secularism, populism.
Even.
In that episode.
Sorry. So.